again. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're celebrating Veterans Day just a little bit early today instead of tomorrow, and we're just delighted to celebrate it with Stars and Stripes. We've done several shows with Stars and Stripes. On Saturday, November 5, the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight conducted its 37th mission to Washington, D.C. They now have flown many veterans. We'll find out just how many just this past year to their memorials in Washington, D.C. The organization was founded in 2008. It's an all-volunteer organization, and it has hubs all over the country. It's amazing what happens with these vets who accompany them to Washington, D.C., what happens in terms of their send-off, what happens in terms of their coming back, and what happens just in terms of their feeling in their hearts, the appreciation for what they've done. So we are going to, this hour of the program, speak with the president of Stars and Stripes Honor Flight, who's joining us in studio, Paula Nelson. Also, we're going to have three vets with us during the course of the hour to find out about their service and also about their honor flight. Bill Johnson of Milwaukee, a 90-year-old World War II Navy veteran, will be with us. Also, Chet Michalowski will join us of Milwaukee, 85-year-old Korean War veteran of both the Army and the Marines. And Melvin Briggs of Heartland, an 84-year-old Korean War and Vietnam War Navy veteran who took his honor flight on November 5, and it happened to be his birthday. What a way to celebrate. We'll be welcoming phone calls in case you're interested in volunteering for this organization. I know some of you who have heard previous shows have signed up to become volunteers, so it's that's a good thing, and we welcome your phone calls. And some of you may have already been on some of these flights, too, as guardians or as vets. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and we'll start our conversation with Paula. Hi, Paula. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure to be here.
Don't you? Isn't it a wonderful thing that somebody had this idea? But is it back in 2004 and thought, oh, wouldn't this be a good thing? And look at what's happened. It's become this amazing organization that is so important to so many vets and their families and the community at large.
Yes, it really was wonderful that our founder, the founder of the National Honor Flight Network, thought of it when he was visiting with World War II veterans that may never see their memorials in his practice at the as a physician's assistant. And he realized that many, many World War II veterans across the country would never have either the means or the physical ability to visit that beautiful memorial that took so many years to build. And just through his small little practice, he was able to have the first honor flight and thought, well, gee, if this is happening, that actually was in Ohio. If this is happening in Ohio, it's happening everywhere else. So we're thrilled to be one of the 130 hubs across the country that get to honor our nation's oldest heroes.
And you had to do it quickly because the memorial, I don't think, was built until or ready to go until 2004. And World War II vets are getting elderly.
That's right. Yeah. We have said from day one, you know, the time is of the essence. The urgency is there, and it's not gone away. So we are still pushing hard to make sure that we get as many out as we can every single year.
And how many have gone from just this hub?
From just our hub, we have flown 4,818.
Unbelievable, Paula.
Yeah. So we'll have our anniversary is November 19th. 18th, I'm sorry. No, 19th. And as you said, 37 flights, but 4,818 veterans from just southeastern Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So it's been a busy 8 years, but we're thrilled to be able to honor all of these veterans. We've taken 3,262 of those are World War II veterans, and just over 1,546 have been Korean, and then we do take terminally ill veterans from other conflicts, so that makes up the balance of the veterans that we've flown to date.
And you don't just put them on an airplane and then they get off and go to the memorials. You have an amazing send-off and a return, too, that just has brought tears to so many people's eyes. I cry when I see it happen.
That's right. It's a full day. The veterans typically check in between 5 and 5:30 in the morning, and we send them off with the love and support of our volunteers, are really most of the crew. We've got some active duty military and that helps us send them off. And we have a full day in Washington, D.C., seeing just about every memorial we can think of that we can pack into the day. But certainly the World War II and the Korean War Memorial are always included in our itinerary, as is the changing of the guard at Arlington National Cemetery. Those are the three absolute have-to-haves mm-hmm. on our trip. And sometimes the memorials and the order in which we visit them changes. But you're right. You know, that was the whole basis for the program, was to get them there to see their memorials and let them share that day with their fellow veterans. But the love and support that they feel from this community, we do homecoming like no other. And I've heard it from other hubs too, but you know, from the minute the ladies and gentlemen come off the plane, right out the jetway, we have, you know, the bagpipers that are there that are playing, and that it instantly hits an emotional chord with the veterans. And then we have this long, through the concourse, a gauntlet of active duty military from all branches and all areas of our community that do a silent salute to our heroes as they pass through on both sides. So that is very touching. It's been a while since a lot of these heroes have been saluted. And it means so much to them that what they fought for so many years ago is being carried on by those who are serving today. I think it's always in their prayers to pray for those who are still serving. So to see them there welcoming them home, but they have no idea. That's just before you even get to the TSA stanchions. Once you get there, then the general public is there, the Patriot Guard, the Legion Riders, they're all there to welcome them. We have local bands, high school bands, and dance teams that come to cheer them on and play patriotic music. But their families are there waiting for them, their brides, their sons, their daughters. It's been a long time since some of them have had those hugs and kisses, and you know, they shake so many hands. And the veterans will joke that they probably have shaken more hands. Last week they said, I think I've shaken more hands today than the candidates had shaken during the election.
That's saying a lot. Yeah, it's really saying a lot.
But that's what they take away at the end of the day. They really remember that more, and they'll talk about that more than they'll talk about the memorials themselves.
Interesting. And it's also a chance for them, and I would imagine this is pretty meaningful and deep, to be able to see people who went through the same experience, because it's hard to know, unless you were in World War II, what it was like to be in World War II or in the Korean War. We've forgotten about that war particularly. To be with somebody who also served, so you share a whole treasure trove of memories, some of which may be very difficult, with somebody else maybe you didn't even know, but you have that bond.
Right. They are, we say they're brothers, you know, they were brothers then, they're brothers now.
Right.
And it's one of the reasons when we seat the plane, we put the veterans next to each other so that they can share stories. And they'll always ask, especially if they see their hat, you know, whether it's their ship's hat or whatever branch of service, their next question is immediately, where did you serve? When were you in? Where were you? What was your job?
Right.
And they share stories, oftentimes stories their families have never heard.
Why? Why do you think you've met with so many of the vets? Why has it been hard for many of them? We'll ask them in a minute here, too, for them to share those stories.
Yeah, I think, you know, when they came back, there wasn't a lot of fuss about them coming back, even from World War II or certainly from Korea and you know, even the later conflicts. They don't get that fanfare, and there was no discussion about healing, or we didn't talk about PTSD back then.
Right.
They just, I think they filed it away, and they thought only somebody else who was there could really understand. And maybe they didn't want to focus on themselves. I always say they came back, they built these families, they built these communities, they built the businesses. They are the foundation of our community. And that's what they focused on. And I think sometimes they just filed it away, and it's too difficult to bring up with somebody who just really wouldn't understand some of the things that they went through, or, you know, the way they missed home. And, you know, even if it wasn't horrific, they were missing home, and it was time away from the normal life, and that was a sacrifice.
Yeah. What made you become involved in all of this?
My father was a World War II veteran.
Was he?
He was, but he passed away when I was 15.
Oh, so
I
young.
was I was too naive to have asked much about his service, but in those 15 years, he definitely taught me to respect our military. My brothers were in Vietnam, so I grew up in somewhat of a military family. So I knew that our veterans and their service was really important, and it was important to thank them for that. So when I heard, I missed the first flight with Stars and Stripes Honor Flight. I heard about it on the news, and I said, that's what I'm going to do. And I signed up to volunteer, and I signed up to be a guardian. And I did every job that came out in the email. I said, yes, yes, yes. I wanted to do more and more. And then I was asked to join the board. And this is, I'm finishing my fourth year as the president.
So oh, congratulations.
It's been quite a journey.
And we'll find out ways that people can become
sure.
involved, too, as we carry on. We do mm-hmm. want to meet some veterans during the course of this hour, because after all, tomorrow is Veterans Day. We're just celebrating a little bit early. Bill Johnson is joining us. By phone. Bill is 90 years old. He's a World War II Navy veteran and took his honor flight on October 15th of 2016. Bill, hello. We are so happy to have you with us. Thank you for serving and thank you for being with us on the radio, sir.
Thank you very much, Kathleen.
Yeah, our great pleasure. So tell me, was World War II something that you talked about extensively with your family, or have you kept it pretty close to your chest?
No, I don't think many of us really talked about it very much. We, you know, I think we were very young when we went in. I was 17.
Oh, my gosh, 17. Wow.
And I joined, enlisted in the Navy in their electronics program, and I had some wonderful training, and then joined the fleet training group in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, where we trained all the ships going to the Pacific.
Oh,
in electronics and countermeasures and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So when we came home, we were just anxious to get on with our lives, and we weren't really thinking about being thanked or anything else. We didn't really expect to be.
And how did you hear about the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight and decide to attend?
Well, a number of my friends had attended, and they said, "Bill, you ought to do this. It would be really great." And I said, "Well, you know, I don't know. I've been to Washington. I used to get to Washington on business, and I really didn't relate to the program until I began to hear them speak about it and how much they had enjoyed it and how appreciative they were. So I spoke to my daughter and asked her if she would like to be my guardian.
Oh.
So she said she would, and we had a marvelous time.
How so? What'd you do?
Pardon?
What did you do when you were there?
We went to all the monuments, and they were so impressed with the World War II monument. You know, it took a long time for them to get that underway, but they did a magnificent job, and it's just a beautiful sight. We, all the monuments are great. I had seen some of them earlier, but not the ones that have done recently. And I think the Air Force Monument was the most recent, and that was just inspiring and a great view. And you just, as you stood there and you realized basically how many people had sacrificed for the freedoms that we take for granted.
Yes. Let's talk a little bit more about World War II. It struck me when you said you were 17 years old, Bill,
right,
when you went to war. You were just a kid, really, weren't you? I mean, you were that so young.
Well, I look at the pictures now, and I laugh, and I look at my grandchildren, and I think, you know, here they are in their 20s, and they didn't have this kind of experience at all. No, we really were, but we didn't think we were... We didn't think we were kids. We thought we were pretty grown up, and it was very, you know, most of the people were the same age, and we went through boot camp together and met a lot of interesting people. It opened my eyes as far as the culture of the different parts of our nation, and met some wonderful friends during that period of time, and I still stay in touch with some of those who are still around,
mm-hmm.
which aren't many, unfortunately. It's, I feel so blessed to have been healthy and still able to do many of the things I used to do, and I just feel very, very fortunate.
Yeah, you sound great, and I'm glad there are people around you can still speak to you. Were you, when you said you enlisted, was there some event that happened that made you sign up right away?
Well, the war was going on and when I was in high school, and one of my friends left high school and joined the service. And so we all felt that, you know, this is something we just had to do. And there was never a question. Matter of fact, the sad part was those who were declared 4F and weren't able to serve, they really felt badly. And so, you know, the rest of us just felt this was something we just had to do.
Mm-hmm. And were you afraid?
Was I what?
Afraid?
Not really. No, I was too young to be afraid. Too young. Mm-hmm. You know, it was one of those things that, you know, I think at that age you don't fear very much.
Yeah. Paula, feel free to join me, too, in talking to him. I know you know Bill. If you have anything that you want to key in on, feel free. I just have one more question for him, and then if you'd like to. Mm-hmm. The other thing that it's hard to imagine walking in other people's shoes during that time period. We talk about your generation as being the greatest generation, and you did remarkable things when you got back, too, and you know, went to school and built up freeways and homes and really changed America. But there's something about this whole countrywide effort which must have been a remarkable thing to look at, to be a part of in this country and in many other countries in the world during World War II. Horrific on one sense, but also people really coming together to fight a foe who was such a danger.
That's right. Yeah, it really was. It was, you know, everybody was a part of it. You know, your parents were all involved, and
yes,
a lot of people, you know, this was really when women really began to go into the workforce,
right,
basically. And so that was, everybody really, it was such a unified time.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to the cynicism which we've had recently, which is kind of sad to behold, because I think so many people don't really appreciate the freedoms that they have. And that to me is the saddest part. To see, I've kind of been trying to inculcate this in my family and grandchildren, but I think a lot of people just are cynical. And, you know, we have so much to be thankful for with that. We hopefully, you know, go out and do the best you can and change the world the way you want to change it. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't have it. I'm an optimist. I think it'll change. You know, we go through cycles of ups and downs, and it's a natural part of the world, I think. And so I'm optimistic in the long run, even though there are things that concern me politically in some of the things that are taking place. But that's you know, things are always going to be changing.
Mm. Well, listen, we like hearing from a 90-year-old optimist. That makes us that's good. That makes us feel optimistic as well. My dad was in the Navy in World War II as well, uh-huh, and was up and down the Atlantic trying to,
yeah,
keep the eye out for German submarines, and
yeah,
also later in Panama. But what's striking to me, and I discovered some letters that my grandmother had written to him, and there was sort of this, and I can hear it in your voice too, kind of a matter-of-fact thing about this. You know, Bob's in Panama, he's in the Navy, I miss him, but everybody had to rise to a higher purpose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, I had a brother who went through all the major battles in the Pacific.
Really?
And, you know, his stories, I guess I never felt I did very much compared to him. And, you know, we both lost friends, and that,
yeah,
that was the most difficult part, to see these wonderful young people not coming back.
Yes. That must have been so, so hard, and so many didn't come back.
That's right.
So many. Paula, you want to talk to Bill about his honor flight experience?
Yes, I'd love to. And first of all, Bill, I want you to thank your friends for encouraging you to take part in an honor flight for us. And we don't like to ask much from you guys, but we would ask you to try and convince your friends. You said you might have been a little reluctant, so we know that there are others out there, and we want the opportunity to thank all of our World War II veterans before it's too late. So, Bill, what would you say was the most memorable part of your day?
Well, of course, the homecoming.
Was it? Yeah, that's what Paula was saying earlier.
Oh, my. Very, I'm not too emotional. I am emotional, but not too much. But wow.
With the bands
to see,
you know.
Well, to see all those people, I mean, you know, it was just amazing. Hmm. And my daughter felt the same way. I think she, the impact on her was great. I mean, she just couldn't get over it.
Hmm. That's wonderful.
So many people would come out and just say thank you.
Hmm. Well, that's terrific. Yeah, we do think that we have an amazing community. It's the only reason we've really been able to do what we have is because we have this community support
yeah.
financially, because everything is done on donations, and we're pretty careful with that. So we want to honor.
You are careful with that, I know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was great. Sendix sponsored this. We've been long-time customers of Sendix, and so I wrote them and just thanked them.
Hmm. That's so nice. Yes, Sendix was the sponsor of the October and November flight.
Right.
So them yeah. and their customers and many of their suppliers, vendors, were a part of a very significant donation that helped us
yeah.
Sponsor these last two flights. So
yeah, well, that was very impressive, really was. And the whole day was impressive. The monuments, we had great weather, so that helped a lot. And just getting to know some of the other veterans, I had some wonderful discussions with people on the plane, and it was a marvelous experience, humbling in many ways.
I'm sure. And tell me what you and your daughter talked about when she went. Did it open up a communication that you hadn't had before with her, Bill?
No, I've always had great communications with my kids, but it was just fun to be able to do it with her. And I think she got a whole new appreciation of what went on. You know, it's hard. It was like World War One to me was not really real. My father had served in World War One, but that was a long time ago. Well, this is even, World War Two is even more distant. So I think she saw something different. You know, she understood a little more about what had happened, and I think it opened her eyes a great deal as well, and she just was extremely impressed.
Mm. Did your dad talk about World War One with you?
Not very much. No, he didn't. No, it's funny. And my brother didn't want to talk at all, although we took a Canadian canoe trip after we both got home.
Oh, you did?
And then he opened up at that time, and so I was the first, you know, the letters, you don't say much in letters, but I really did learn a lot about what had happened in the Pacific battles, which were horrendous.
Oh, they were. World War One was pretty horrendous, too, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, yeah, it was. Yeah, wars are a terrible thing, and you come away from this experience, you know, being very thankful for the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice that many made, but then you also come away with the question in your mind, why wars?
Right.
Well, I guess, you know, you hope human mankind has progressed beyond that, but I'm afraid that's not the case.
Yeah. Have you written down your experiences, Bill, in World War II?
Not really, no. I haven't. My kids keep telling me I should, and I'm just starting to do some of those things now, and, with, you know, collecting old letters and things of that nature.
Good.
And we had a big 90th celebration where all my children and grandchildren came to Milwaukee, and so they had made poster boards, and some of it was during my Navy experience, and so that was fun. And so they all got they got a good look at my life, which has been very blessed and in so many ways, both all the way, in fact. And I just, you know, I really live the American dream.
I think you're still living it in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bill, thank you ever so much for being with us.
Kathleen, thank you for doing the program.
Yeah, our great pleasure.
Always enjoyed your work.
Thanks, Bill. Bill Johnson. Sure. Bill is a 90-year-old World War II Navy veteran, took his honor flight October 15 of 2016. What a wonderful man he is.
Isn't he something?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, it's just to listen to their stories, and it is so important. That's the secondary part of our mission, is to make sure that their stories are not forgotten. So we have a speakers bureau that will go and talk to organizations and schools.
That's wonderful, Paula.
And we have veterans that volunteer
wonderful.
Also to come and talk to the school-age children, and we do kind of a younger program and in a high school program. So it's really important that we not let their legacy go with them.
Yeah. Well, talk about volunteers you may need as we continue. And we'll start taking phone calls because we're getting some vets calling in from the Korean War and other places. Don't worry, we'll get you on the air here in a moment. We're talking about the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight in this area. It's an incredible program that was founded in 2008. It's an all-volunteer organization. I'm sure many of you know something about it, but we're delighted to honor some of these vets, and particularly the day before Veterans Day. Paula Nelson is with us, president of Stars and Stripes Honor Flight. Her dad was a World War II vet who died when she was 15, she said, and she had brothers who served in Vietnam. Bill Johnson with us from World War II. In just a moment, Chet Michalski will join us. He's 85 years old, a Korean War veteran of both the Army and the Marines. Just took his honor flight on November 5th. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. And our Facebook page, if you'd like to leave messages there, is the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network. Before we meet Chet, Paula, we've had a couple people call and want to know where they can find out more about an honor flight, and also for those who are in different parts of the state.
Sure. There are several hubs here in Wisconsin. Our webpage is starsandstripeshonorflight.org, and you can go there to download your applications for the veterans and the guardians. If you're going to be traveling together, if you want to be a paired veteran and guardian, please send those in together and note each other's names on those applications if you can. Honor Flight Network is the national organization. I think it's honorflightnetwork.org, but I'll check that while we're talking here. There are 130 hubs across the country, so you can go there and choose there. It says find a hub. You can go there for hubs outside of the area. In Wisconsin, there's Badger Honor Flight out of Madison, Freedom out of La Crosse, Never Forgotten out of Wausau, and Old Glory out of Appleton.
Oh, lots of them.
So, yes, and they have websites, and you can find their information on our webpage as well. The state is divided, so if there's any question about which hub you should fly with, the state is divided on a map right on our website, but you can fly with any of us.
Great. And now Chet is joining us. Chet Michalski, he's an 85-year-old Korean War veteran of both the Army and the Marines, took his honor flight just on November 5th, so just recently. And we thank you for your service. Thanks so much, Chet, for being with us. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm good, Chet. How are you?
I just got back from the hospital. I volunteer. I go out and see the patients and that. And I'm tired now.
Oh, I thought you were going to say...
Well, you're getting old, you know.
That's not... Yeah, you don't sound like you're real old. And it's
no.
Great that you volunteer there, too. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I've been there for about 10 years already.
Ooh, good for you. Good for you. Well, you can take a nap after we talk.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, maybe I'll take a nap, too, because I'm getting up there as well. Take a little afternoon nap. So before we talk about the service, let's talk about the honor flight, which was pretty recent. How was the trip for you? How was the welcoming?
If I had to rate it, the whole trip itself with everything, I have to give my A++++. I mean it.
Thank you, Chet.
Yeah, I mean it. It was really so great. I mean, it was... Oh, just out of my mind. It was great. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask for more. How was it great, Chet?
Everything. How I liked the volunteers, how they handled it. They're all pro, as far as I go. I watched what they did, you know, and because I volunteer at the hospital, too. And I like what they do. They know what they're doing, and they help you immediately if you need help. And you just have to ask for something. They get it, you know. And it was wonderful. It was just, you know, I felt like a king for a day.
Oh, I'm so glad. Was it meaningful for you to be with other Korean War veterans?
I talked to a few, you know, but some of the older folks didn't want to talk. I had a man next to me, but he wouldn't say too much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the best I could, and, you know. But overall, I got to meet all the talk here and there a little bit, you know. But it was great, even with the veterans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
that tends to be a war that we've forgotten about in many ways. And
yeah.
And I'm wondering if you feel neglected at all. And I also want to know why you think we've forgotten about it.
When I got out, I was in Korea. And I came back to California to get discharged. My enlistment was over. Well, then they send you on a train, you come home, it's all over, you know. And I meet people about it a little bit. But no really closure, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, there's no closure there. So that's what I liked about this thing here. When they, you walked, you know, at the end of there, we walked where these military people were standing saluting.
Mm.
So my granddaughter, she was a character from the military, too. She was a master sergeant, and she got 20 in. And so we walked through, and she says, we're both whispering, man, is this something?
Mm.
It was really, it got to my soul.
Oh.
So to me, that was closure.
She went with you? Is that what you were saying? She was on the trip?
Oh, yeah, she was my sponsor, yeah.
Wonderful.
But we both walked down together, you know.
Wonderful. So maybe you're saying maybe that's something that we ought to be keeping in mind, that it would have been helpful to you to have had some kind of closure when you came home.
That's right. That's many years ago. And then I was in Vietnam, you know, with the Army.
Right.
And there was no closure in that deal when I got home.
No, there was definitely no closure there. That was a rough time.
So I made up for it, right? And I was saying going through that. But the people saluting, and then all the people, you know, saying, you know, giving their regards, you know what they say, and how are you doing or whatever.
Yeah.
And thank you for your service and that stuff. To me, that was really meaningful. It was a spiritual thing for me.
Yeah, I understand that. So how did you happen to be in both Korea and in Vietnam, Chet?
Well, I started out in the Marine Corps. I got off for a while. I worked, and I had some nice jobs, but I just said, I don't know. So I went to the Army. I went to Air Force first, and I spent 6 years in the Air Force, and I got to Istanbul, Turkey, and things didn't work very well over there for me, so I got out of the Air Force and switched over to the Army.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I got to Vietnam, and I stayed there 18 months.
Vietnam in 18 months, for 18 months?
Yeah, what happened is they said if we'll give you a 30-day special leave, they fly you home first class, and... But you have to come back for 6 more months over your tour, you know.
Right.
Well, I went home and got married. And
That was good.
Yeah, I got married. If everything had knocked off, at least I was married. But what? Well, so I went to church. We had it in the church, everything.
Uh-huh.
And I came back, and I said, oh, now look at this. I got to save. I was almost near my end of my tour. Now I got another 8 months to go. So I thought, what did I do that for now? But I got through it. I made it.
Right.
And but coming home, it was, you know, not too much about that war. You know, nobody liked it, I guess. So.
Well, there were protests. It was a really divisive time. I was away live during those years. They were not very easy. Was that a hard war? I don't know if you can even make comparisons. You just were in two very tough wars from what I've read.
The Marines was tough because we used to go up and off. We were like a reserve unit. And when somebody needs some time or to do something, we pull up again and go up on the line. So we're right behind the line. Well, we get the sniper at. We're running across the rice paddy, and kind of like catching the mortars, you know.
Mm.
I thought, geez, I shouldn't come out here no more. But anyway, we got called to go up a hill that they said you got to hold because they think the truce will be signed, and they wanted that for the DMZ,
right.
That hill.
Yeah.
So, we went up about at night, so we had to go on. It was a pretty tall hill, and we got clobbered.
Our
whole unit was back off the hill the next day.
Oh, Chet.
They had to get replaced with others. I was lucky, though. I only had a small wound, you know.
Yeah.
But some of the guys, I was just sad, you know. And then 2 days later, the truce was signed.
Mm.
So we thought, why couldn't it? Oh, man.
I know.
2 days.
Yeah, I know. And you keep those men, I'm sure, in your mind and your heart forever.
Yeah, you think about it, you know.
Sure you do.
Because I have a good life so far, and I'm a deacon in the Catholic Church, and I visit people in that, you know.
Right.
And life's been good to me. I can't complain. Oh, my. And
that's good, Chet.
After going on this flight, I'm just a little more two steps on my spirituality.
Yeah, good for you. And Paula just showed me a picture of your daughter who went with you and you, too.
Oh, yeah, she was great. She's great.
Yeah, he took a picture of you with the park police by the motorcycle.
Oh,
remember?
We went to that, too.
Yeah.
That guy was something else, wasn't it?
Wasn't he? Quite a show.
Oh, jeez. I thought he was going to get knocked off on going right up to the middle of the intersections and just stopping the cars. And say, you know, so you can't go. We got these buses to get through.
Yeah, we have National Park Police help escort us, our buses, through the city. Otherwise, we wouldn't see much with all that traffic, would we, Chet?
You'd be sitting around trying to get through,
Yes, for sure.
But he took care of it. He was great.
He did.
Yeah. He was great.
We have somebody calling in. Bill is calling from Spring Green. I think he's a Korean War vet as well. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill. Hi.
Hi.
He's talking to me. Okay.
Yeah.
I was talking to Bill Johnson before.
No. Oh.
But I was in the Korean War, but I was in the Atlantic Fleet. And but I wanted to ask the veterans, when you took an oath to defend the Constitution, when we entered the Constitution, defend the Constitution, the enemies without and within. And I think we got a lot of enemies within our country, but they don't know it. So anyhow, but I campaigned for a most decorated colonel was in Vietnam. He was Colonel Bo Greitz in Chicago. I campaigned for him, and he was up for election 20 years ago for the president. And it didn't mention him in the paper because George Herbert Walker Bush canceled the paper and said the would not be any jobs for anyone reported that Colonel Greitz was in Chicago.
Let me ask you, Bill, have you thought about going on an honor flight? Have you gone on one?
Well, I'm nearly 87 and had so many accidents. People drive too close and too fast. And
I'm with you. They do. Right. But he's 87. You've had, I mean, our other Bill guest was 90 years old. You've had people in their 90s go, haven't you?
We have. One flight we had 100, 101, and 102-year-old.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And so other than getting to and from the airport, we take care of everything else during the day. So you don't have to worry about traffic or anything. So we would love to have you, or if Badger Honor Flight is closer for you out of Madison, I'm sure that they would as well.
Yeah. You also take care of medical needs should they arise.
We do, and thank you for bringing that up, because we take wheelchair-bound veterans sometimes. We still want them to have the honor of the day. We get buses with wheelchair lifts so everybody can go. Our doctors, we have two doctors on our board of directors that address any of the medical needs. So we'll take them on oxygen, and they're very well prepared. We get a medical form updated right before the flight, and our doctors carefully review that so that we're prepared, so that we understand the needs.
Mm-hmm.
But we rarely say no to somebody that is concerned about that.
Right.
So
yeah, you know how to run an operation.
After 37 flights, we've tried to address everything we can.
I'll bet.
Anticipate what we can.
Do you have a lot of pictures of the day, Chet?
What's that?
Do you have a lot of pictures of your honor flight?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
I was relaxed. You know, I know the flight was not that long.
Right.
So I was looking out the window and staring down, just looking at the things down below, you know.
Right.
It was interesting, you know.
Yeah.
I've been on an airplane 20 years, so.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Well, Chet, thank you so much for being with us. I'm really glad it was a memorable day for you.
It was.
And thanks for being on the radio.
It was so, so terrific. It was great.
Oh.
Thanks, Chet. Have a happy Veterans Day.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Chet.
Okay.
Chet Michalowski, 85-year-old Korean War veteran of both the Army and the Air Force in both Vietnam and in Korea. Saturday, last November 5, Stars and Stripes Honor Flight conducted its 37th mission to Washington, D.C. They have flown so many local veterans just this past year. The program has been around since 2008, founded then. It's an all-volunteer organization, and they have 130 hubs, Paula said, all over the country. And they are flying World War II vets, Korean War vets, and those who are terminally ill from other wars to see their memorials and to see Arlington and other places in D.C. They get a send-off that's not to be beat. They get a welcome home that's really not to be beat. And it says you can hear from the vets we're talking to, a remarkable experience for many of them. We'll meet another vet in a moment. And we're also happy to have Paula Nelson with us. Paula is president of Stars and Stripes Honor Flight. 800-486-8655 is the number. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Melvin Briggs joining us. He is a Korean War veteran and a Vietnam War Navy veteran as well. Took his honor flight on November 5. Melvin is 84 years old, and we thank you so much for being with us. Melvin, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Melvin. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yes. I've called and talked to you back about 5-6 years ago, anyway.
Did you really, Melvin?
Yes, I did.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. Were we talking about honor flights, or were we talking about one of the wars?
Well, the honor flight and the wars. The honor flight was very great. I was really thrilled because the way they treated us during after the Korean War and the Vietnam War, you know, it was nice to be honored.
Yeah, that's what Chet was saying, that you just sort of got off the ship that brought you home, and there, that was it. You were making a transition, and finally you got a real transition here, and a thank you.
Right, because I can remember when I had to go down in uniform down to Milwaukee to the Naval Reserve Training Center afterwards, because, you know, everybody was an 8-year obligator, and, they'd be protesters would be standing at KK and Lincoln Avenue, and they'd block the road for you and call you names and throw eggs at you and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're honored. It got to a point you were afraid to wear the uniform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those were tough times, I know. And you went on your birthday, Paula told me. It was your birthday, the day of the honor flight?
Yes, it was. I got honored twice.
That's pretty nice. Who went with you?
My son, Peter, went.
And what did he think of the day?
Oh, he thought it was great. Anyway, you can see in the pictures what they took, that great big smile from ear to ear.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, it was. Tell me the memories that you have of that particular day, what it meant for you to be able to go on this flight, what the homecoming was like, and what it was like to see. Well, you had a couple memorials to see, didn't you? Vietnam and also Korean War.
Right, and World War One. My father was in World War
One. Oh, was he? Oh.
And I had cousins, one of them who got killed, Laverne Briggs, over in North Africa during World War Two.
Mm.
And I had, a lot of relatives were in World War Two. My one uncle, Fred Deering, on my mother's side, he was an interpreter for the Nuremberg trials because he could speak and read German.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, come from a tradition of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite a lot different experience for what we came home to, you know, after the Korean and Vietnam War, you know. I used to, in the beginning of the Korean thing anyway, you'd hitchhike and I could hitchhike home. I took a government flight to Washington, D.C., and there was supposed to be a flight to Milwaukee, but they canceled it. So I started to hitchhike.
Oh.
And that picked me up and took me all the way to Milwaukee.
You're kidding.
Right.
Oh, that was lucky. I remember those days of hitchhiking. I don't do that anymore, do you?
No.
No.
The attitude during the Vietnam War and the tail end of the Korean, the attitude changed.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Those were, as we were talking to Chet before you, those were very hard wars to serve in. They were just difficult war. Not that any war wouldn't be hard, but from what we know about history, both those wars were very hard to be serving in, weren't they?
Oh, it sure was. It was, my opinion now, the Vietnam War, we should never been in. But I'm not a politician, you know. And I don't know. I'm not an expert at anything, but my personal opinion is they got unlimited manpower. Unless you're going to really go out to all-out war, we should not be involved. Because then people had a will to win.
Mm-hmm. So you felt that way, what, about the Korean War or about Vietnam?
Both of them.
Both of them.
Yeah. The Korean War, like McCarthy, he wanted to go all the way, you know.
Right.
After the Chinese came in over there, but Truman fired him. You probably know all about that.
I know a little bit about it. Not as much as you do.
Yeah. We were trying when we got the word anyway aboard ship that what happened. We were wondering what's going on. You know, our attitude was if we're in a war, let's go out and win it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess Harry thought if we went too far, all the Chinese would come in, not just the volunteers.
Mm-hmm. When you get back from wars like that, do you prefer to read up on the history of them? Or have you had the experience and you just want to get as far away from your experience as you can?
Well, no, I read up on it. I wanted to get different opinions. And, you talk to the guys, pilots, when I was aboard the aircraft carrier, and they said, you know, they were very disappointed. You know, they could only bomb and strafe targets so many clicks up. And there was opportunities that were farther that they could see, but they weren't allowed. They said, if we're going to fight a war, we should fight a war, not any of these, like they did during World War II, and this mm-hmm. limited stuff is for the birds.
Yeah. Let's go to some phone calls. Lynn is calling in from Eau Claire. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Kathleen, and good afternoon to your guest. Tomorrow, my husband and I will be going to Veterans Day observance at one of the grandkids' schools.
Oh.
And with me, I will be bringing all that I ever knew of my Uncle Ray. He was killed in Korea. Mm-hmm. He went back into action, injured, and he was killed. And I will be bringing a photo, his Purple Heart, and his dog tags. And that's all we ever knew of Ray. And then my father joined. He served post-Korean War in the Marine Corps. He was a guinea pig at the A-bomb testing in Nevada.
Ooh.
And my first husband is my first husband because we were married. He was right out of Vietnam, and I wasn't ready to handle the PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
I was too young.
Mm.
And people need to be reminded that these men are victims.
Yeah, war is hell, right? That's a saying, Melvin. I'm sure you probably agree with that. War is hell.
Yes, I know. It's a tragedy, but we have to have a strong defense. Otherwise, everybody will take advantage of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Lynn, yes. It's good you're doing that. Paula, you want to comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that it is one of our priorities on our flights to take that moment in time, especially at Arlington National Cemetery, to remember those whose sacrifices were made that didn't get to come home.
Absolutely.
That we won't ever get to say thank you in person to. That's really important to us and to the veteran. It is part of the closure, I think, that they experience on an honor flight, is taking that moment with their brothers and sisters who served to remember those that they lost.
Yeah, and so, I respect what Lynn is doing with
absolutely.
Her uncle, too, to remember him. That's an important thing to do.
Absolutely.
Mark in Stoughton. Hi, Mark.
Good afternoon. Thank you for your guests today. My father's 90 years old. He refused the deferment to World War II and ended up going over there to Germany. But my honor flight story is that I was in Appleton and he was in La Crosse, so I couldn't do the prearranged medical training for chauffeurs that go with him. So one of his buddies took him, but I flew out the night before
mm-hmm.
and stayed overnight and walked to the memorial. And when they took him off the bus, I was standing there, and you could have swore he saw a ghost.
Oh, Mark.
But it was a wonderful day. We got to see everything, and Bob Dole was there. Bob Dole goes every Wednesday and Saturday that he can.
Does he really? Amazing. He's such a gracious man.
He still does. And he's a wonderful man. And
yes,
Earl Morris was there, who started the honor flight. It was just a great day. It was just wonderful for those guys.
Oh, I'm so glad you went. Thank you. And it's a good way for us to end our show, except for we're going to get more information from Paula about how to volunteer. Melvin, carry on. Thank you, sir, for being with us.
Well, thank you, ma'am. Thank you for having me anyway. It was it's really pretty nice. Now, I've been doing a lot of reading up on the Vietnam, because, you know, in your big steel ship, you know, you're not in harm's way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad you're a student of history with all of this. We all should be, actually, with all of this with our military. Thank you so much. Paula, how do people, you need people to volunteer. It's an incredible effort you got here.
It is, and we have such an amazing team. We do have a couple of hundred volunteers who work all kinds of crazy events, parades, and events, not only flight day. So I'm so grateful for them in our Honor Flight board team that do so much great work.
Give us a phone number if people want to, or if they are interested in going on a flight, or a website or something.
Website, starsandstripeshonorflight.org. is the best way. We do have a phone line, but it's just a line that nobody will answer. You'll get a quicker response on doing the contact us through the website.
Thank you, Paula. Thanks for being with us
and arranging
all the vets to be here. It was a wonderful hour. Happy Veterans Day. Paula Nelson is president of Stars and Stripes Honor Flight. Thanks to KP Whaley and Scotty Myers for putting together today's program. Thanks for listening.